Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Wilson.
Good evening and welcome to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. We're back. It's almost like we never actually went away. There'll be no pretending to talk about darts or snooker tonight. It's Rugby League all the way and it's a full house as we look forward to the start of the new season. Our first full match commentary live on Sunday afternoon. It's the Bradford Bulls. Yes, the new posh and shiny one going to Hull Kingston Rovers. There is only one outcome, surely. We'll be talking more about the Bulls tonight and previewing the start of the season, looking back at some friendly results. Are they good things? Are they bad things? Are they a waste of time? We'll find out. In the studio, as always, Richard Shaw Wright, Phil Kaplan, Gary Schofield, and a man who is even more controversial than us four put together, John Davison from loverugbyleague.com. Is it .com.co.uk?
.com.
There you go. Are you well, mate?
I'm good.
Good man. Yeah, you're amongst friends here, because you're not frightened to say what you think. I have got an announcement to make. We're on Facebook Live tonight, are we? And on YouTube.
You know we were live last week? We were back last week.
No. Yeah, we were. So Scully's come dressed for the occasion. You ought to stand up so everyone can see at home what a scruffy person you are.
The camera's at the back of him.
Short pants. Yeah. Flip-flops. And the worst T-shirt. I reckon your combined outfit costs about £7.50.
Mark, to be honest with you, you never say to us on a Monday night. You know that
I didn't
that,
know.
That,
did
that,
I didn't
it's a
know.
Fashion, that it's a fashion parade. You know, so
hence why I've come as scruffy as you.
Well, exactly. So don't be calling the kettle, son.
I can see anyway now where you've got so much money, because you obviously don't spend any of it on your clothes, do you?
How long we gone? 5 minutes.
Here we go.
Where are you from, Belial? It's all about hand-me-downs. That's what it is from Belial. It's hand-me-downs.
Oh, dear. plenty of topics to get stuck into tonight on Twitter, at RL on RY. Richard's looking after that. Johnny Vegas has made us a new advert for Rugby League on Sky TV. I think there's a mixed opinion about it. Phil, we'll start with you, my friend. Do you like it or do you dislike it?
I like it.
Why?
Well, firstly, I think we're taking it too seriously. Johnny Vegas is a comedian. It's funny. Now, whether you think Johnny Vegas is a good comedian is neither here nor there, but I think there is tongue firmly in cheek. The two things I really like about it, one is its celebrity endorsement. Again, how far up the celebrity tree you think Johnny Vegas is, I'm not sure, but apparently he does television outside of what is the Rugby League audience. So I think, again, him being a promoter of the sport is not a bad thing. It's a celebrity endorsement. We don't do that enough. The other thing is, I think there's an element, for the first time ever, of self-confidence in the advert. And I know that Richard was concerned about knocking other sports, but again, I just think it's almost a parody of ourselves calling us the greatest game. I think we're actually confident enough to say to people, do you know what, we're different, our sport is different, and it's different from football because players don't fall over. The little thing he does about rugby union, very understated, but I think on the back of the Solomona thing, quite funny. The American football line, you know, have some self-respect when he throws the padding back at Danny Hound. I actually quite like it. I would prefer that we were at a point in the sport where we could put the players up front first and they would be the personalities, but actually it signals to me that we're a bit more sure of what our identity is. We've got somebody else to shout about it who people will recognise outside of the sport. My only criticism, if it is one, is we should have been watching this 3 weeks ago rather than wait until the season for.
Okay.
But I like it. I don't have a
is
problem.
It not a bit... I mean, you met reference to the Rugby Union. If you're not a Rugby League fan, John, that doesn't really make any...
But I think
it's of no relevance to you, is it? You know, I think it's preaching to the converted. I think, yeah, it's okay, don't get me wrong, but, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit in both camps. I think definitely it does preach to the converted, and if you're a rugby league fan, you love it. It's probably not going to convert a cricket fan or a union fan or anything else, but it is. It's funny. It's cheeky. Yeah, I think it's gone down well. I suppose it can't be everything to everyone, but it's served its purpose.
What do you think, Scully?
I think it's just okay, if I'm honest with you. That's all reason, but just as Phil touched on there, you know, we've got the Super League kicking off, what, next Thursday, which is...
Nine days away.
You know, why have we waited all this time to get out there and get people... If we are looking to get new people interested and getting new audience and attacking a new audience, I think we're going to need a little bit more than Johnny Vegas, to be honest with you. For mine, it's OK, but, boy, oh, boy, I think we've left it later to market the game, to be honest with you.
I mean, you say preaching to the converted. Of course it is in a certain extent. He's wearing a St Helens vintage shirt. If you didn't know that, then he's just wearing a rugby shirt. But the fact is, it's a comedy routine for 2 minutes. And there's nothing really wrong with that. We're looking at going, oh, it's stereotypical, and it's northern, and it's shouty, and it takes the mick out of other sports. But to people that don't know rugby league, they just might be prepared to see what Johnny Vegas is shouting about. So I'm not sure it does just preach the converted. I think we've broken a bit of ground by saying we're actually proud of who we are and what we stand for, and yeah, we haven't done that before. It's not... Yes, I understand there's no action in it, and a lot of people say if you're going to really sell the sport, put the product that's on the field out there and let people see how good it is. But I think it will get people interested who just watch it, because why is Johnny Vegas shouting in the camera? Why is he pushing players around? Why is he ripping shirts? Why is he throwing helmets on the floor? They won't know who Callum Watkins is or Kyle Amor or Sean O'Loughlin, but they will perhaps listen to a rant by Johnny Vegas. So I think it works.
Okay. Should we use a Wayne Rooney, Rio Ferdinand? I ask you that because they're both public rugby league fans.
Well, I wonder if you use Joey Barton, because I've been on record on this programme before about the misuse of Joey Barton in rugby league. Not least being on the front of a magazine, which was an utterly ridiculous decision last year, but there you go, especially with his background. But I think this is very much a Marmite advert. I think you're either going to love it or hate it. I like the idea, but I don't think it sells the new Super League season on Sky Sports. That's what it's supposed to be there for, get people to watch rugby league. Well, so what is rugby league? Is it Johnny Vegas being Johnny Vegas? Because he's just a character, he's not a real person. You know, perhaps we'll get Keith Lemon on, he's from the North as well. Or are we selling these heroic warrior athletes who were, you know, supposed to build up, the ones in the title sequence for Sky that are robots or whatever? What are we selling? There's no rugby league in the video. There's no Tom Johnson's try or a dramatic late-minute drop goal or a big hit or something. What are we trying to sell? You know, I can't...
Celebrity endorsement. I think you're right. You could widen it out to the wider sporting network. There are lots of people in lots of sports who are being interviewed by the chief broadcaster in the run-up to Super League. It wouldn't take a lot to say, oh, just before we end the interview, Mr. Klopp, you know, you had the New Zealanders up here. What do you think of the new rugby league season? It wouldn't have been a problem. I think you can do that. But I just think this is something different. If you don't know who Callum Watkins is, you don't know who Callum Watkins is. If Johnny Vegas is standing there and Callum Watkins is in a sequin jacket, you are actually appealing to a different audience.
Mm. I didn't know it was because we stood the wrong way around. When the BBC used Johnny Vegas on the Sports Personality of the Year, about 10 years ago, whatever, to review the rugby league season, they treated rugby league as a joke. I don't watch that programme anymore because that said to me what the BBC think of rugby league. And obviously, that's not necessarily the case. You know, they've made a big appointment this week. And they showed that game in the Challenge Cup on Saturday afternoon online, which was great, between Lee Miners Rangers and Wigan St Patrick's. Really enjoyed watching that. It's almost as if we can't shake off rugby league as some kind of comic fodder. Why, when the start of the Six Nations this weekend, ITV are promoting it as rugby's greatest championship, they're calling it, which is a lie, obviously, because even if you just put the word union in there, the thing down under is more important and has the better teams involved.
Now we're on Facebook, you're just going on a rant. It's not all about you, you know.
When Wimbledon comes around, the BBC don't have Sue Barker prattling around, do they, with someone dressed up like a tennis player or someone dressed up as Cliff Richard or something. They treat it as Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, Andy Murray, Novak Djokovic, as the elite sportsmen.
But you're not comparing like with like. The Six Nations
still
is
promoting something.
And I think that is a difference. And tennis is individuals. It's easier to promote individuals. I think we have an issue with our identity, that we ourselves, as much as anybody else, think we're still northern industrial working class, played in the mud, in the winter,
my,
and everywhere,
my point
and still
is,
commentating. And there's a bit of Johnny Vegas that does link into
I
that.
I like Johnny Vegas.
But
I think
it's
he's
a
good.
Different approach. And I think for us to be saying this is why we're different, because we don't fall over when you touch somebody's shoulder, I don't think there's a problem with that.
Okay, fair enough. My problem is,
Sky have got access to quite a lot of famous people. Yeah. Why are we hearing from a guy?
That's
my point. Who's associated with our sport? Let's get a new one on. You know, look at Will Greenwood today. He's obviously a huge rugby union man, but he does talk well about rugby league whenever he's asked about it. Get him on, so it might appeal to the rugby union listeners.
Oh,
he's saying it's good. Let's have a look.
When Kevin Sinfield was retiring, the whole parade of the likes of Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah, talking about
it. To talk about it.
Yeah,
and I just worry sometimes that the media coverage of our sport, and, you know, we're part of it, can't say otherwise, sometimes relies too much on playing for laughs.
But doesn't the sport need to decide what it wants to be?
But look, you look on social media on a Friday, the footballers are watching, they watch it. The big sports people watch it. So I just think we maybe need to be a little bit more proactive.
I think it needs both. I don't have a problem with selling us with a celebrity up front. You either think he's funny or he isn't. That's a different argument about what humour is. But I just think it's different, and it's.
But as Richard said, you look at that, you go, well, I don't know who he is there. Don't know who does he play for. I don't know them colours. Yeah, I think it does.
I don't think anybody who's watching on a Friday regularly in a pub in Ipswich is going to come to a game or buy a season ticket. I just think they'll go, oh, it's that Friday night, it's that Super League, it's that thing that Johnny Vegas is. Oh, let's have a look at what it is.
But surely Rugby League's best way to build, if you like, with its broad... It needs more viewers on Sky, doesn't it? And to get that, you need bigger names pushing it on Sky. When they have the Premier League football on, they don't have some bloke on from Bradford promoting it, do they? They get some big names on there.
But we're not Premier League football. That's part of the problem.
Okay. Well, we just won't try then, eh? We just won't try.
I think there are ways of trying. This is a different way of trying, and I think for what it's trying to do, it works, but it shouldn't be the only way of trying.
Okay. Are you excited for the new season, John?
Starting to get excited, I think. It's been a pretty tough off-season, hasn't it, with all the, crises, if it's not too big a word, but season launched on Thursday, and I think finally, you know, some games to come around the World Club Challenge. So yeah, look, definitely looking forward to those.
What's your background? Obviously, an Australian voice on our. We don't get too many on here. They're all from Belle Isle, the people we employ. I don't know why. We're gonna have to change that, I think. What's your background? How are you here? Why are you here watching Super League in England?
Yeah. Met and married a Yorkshire lass in Sydney, and then moved over a little over 4 years ago to Yorkshire children. But yeah, rugby league, grew up in a rugby league family in Newcastle in Australia, which is obviously, Andrew Johns, Paul Harrigan, Clive Churchill territory. And followed the game my whole life and been covering it for the last 3 to 4 years here. And yeah, developed definitely a love for Super League and appreciation, which I think a lot of people in Australia who perhaps aren't pure rugby league fans and are NRL fans don't really understand the game here or probably appreciate it, give it the credit it deserves. But I think little by little that is changing when, you know, you look at the English players who are, you know, doing so well in the NRL.
It is people obviously going to the NRL school. You were one of the first, if you like, to do that. Are you fearing more are going to go this year?
Oh, to be honest with you, Mark, I want to see 30, 40, 50 of our players out there, to be honest with you, you know, and if you can see the standard what the Burgess boys got themselves to James Graham, you look at the way Hodgson has done and Elliot Wider, yeah, the more the better for me. It's as simple as that, and I know we're looking to try and close the gap, certainly international level, because it's going to make them better players week in and week out, and I know from my experience, and so would Lee Crook, so will Derek Fox, so will Aaron Henley, so will Martin Afaya, so will Joe Lydon, so would you Woodall, so would Kevin Ward. You know, when you're playing against quality week in and week out, it is going to make you better players because it's the intensity from there. So I'll tell you what, mate, as far as I'm concerned, slick, anybody who wants any of our players in the NRL, get yourself over there, because hopefully we're not going to win the World Cup this year, that is a fact, but then, you know, in the next 4 years time, when it's down the road from there, who's to know that we're not going to win the World Cup with the right bloke in charge as well?
Is that bloke Wayne Bennett?
No, not for me, it's Darryl Powell. I will keep harping on for Darryl Powell to be the next England coach until the day that he's appointed. And I think he should be appointed now. I do, honestly. I think he should be appointed now.
Well, let's start by talking about Cass. They went to St Helens and got a good win in a friendly. Phil, do we read a lot into friendlies? I'm not so sure I do, but...
I think it's only generalisations. I don't think you can read too much into them. By virtue of the nature of the friendly, is that it's only cameo performances by by the players. They're only really on for about 20 minutes, and it's multiple interchange. So you can read a little bit into structure, a little bit into intensity. You don't really want to go through what Saints have gone through, and that is to plan your whole pre-season around their major signing being Matty Smith and him getting injured in a friendly. And that has undoubtedly upset them.
Do we know what his injury is? Has it been announced? Broken? Do we know?
I think they're trying to keep it under wraps as to the length of time.
Oh, to see how bad it is, right? Okay.
But I think they're looking at a significant amount of time, is what we've officially been told. I suspect it's a broken leg with a bit of complications. But the danger is that a lot of the clubs we're looking at in pre-season are built around a significant person, and if that person is no longer there, it's going to harm you for the season. I went to Featherstone on Friday, and Matt Parcell looks very good for Leeds at the moment. But you would wonder if in pre-season he got a significant injury, how that would affect the planning that they've done. And I think it's the same with, you know, George Williams gets injured in a friendly. Wigan suddenly struggle for their structure. Can't read too much into it. You hope more than anything that you come through the game injury free. Cass, I think, are building something. They'll take great confidence from the fact that they've had a very good pre-season, as I think Salford will. They've had, again, a victory against Hull this weekend, and won't do them any harm. But I don't think we can say on the back of that Hull aren't going to be challenges this year. I'm sure they will be. Was it Wigan who in 2013 won the double but couldn't win a pre-season friendly? So, again, don't read too much into it. Unless, for example, you are Widnes and you're not scoring points in friendlies, because if that's going to be your Achilles heel throughout the year, then it shows up a little bit in a friendly. I'm just not sure what you can do about it if it tells you stuff like that.
What about yourself, John? Do you take a lot of notice of what's going on? I mean, obviously, Cass go to Saints, a place where they've not won competitively for a heck of a long time. I mean, you look at the two teams, certainly, and they were the big guns were there, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think it is harder. I tend to agree with Phil. You can read some things in, but they don't. I don't think you should cast them as gospel. I mean, I was at Bellevue or the Beaumont Legal Stadium yesterday.
More money for Wakefield. More money.
It was 50-6 over Sheffield, and to be honest, Wakefield were good in patches, but they could have won by 90 if they'd put their foot down. And you could see Sam Williams got a knock after about 60 minutes, and they brought him off quickly because he was, by far the best player on the pitch. And it's a real risk. Some of these clubs are playing four or five games. I don't understand why you need to play that many. Obviously, they rotate a lot of the youngsters, but I think, two trial games is enough, and then start the season properly.
I'll tell you what as well, guys, because when we're looking at all these friendlies, what have been, they've been staying, what's his Boxing Day up till maybe, I don't know if anybody's playing this week before the season starts, but do you know what? What has been the point of these friendlies? Because they're not playing the best sides, they're not playing the best players. Why not just go into it and say, well, we'll start the first game of the season? Because what is the purpose of these friendlies when they're not even playing the big boys?
A lot of it's contact. That you can train as much as you want, but you actually
need... Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I know all that, yeah.
And you need game-related situations to take out what you've done on the training.
Yeah,
the
I understand that.
Board. I can think a couple...
But they're not playing. They're not playing the players all the time, Phil, are they? You know what I mean?
But I think that's partly the injury risk, and it's partly also giving everybody...
You can get into the training, can't you?
Oh, you can, and people have to.
I think revenue raising is a big thing. They can guarantee a couple of thousand people, and that's money in the club's pocket. And
I understand, because I think I think I've said it for the last couple of years as well, to be honest with you. What I would do with these pre-season games, I would bring back the old Lancashire and Yorkshire Cup, so you're making the games competitive. And if the big boys don't want to take it seriously, as Richard will quite rightly tell us, Wakefield had the Yorkshire Cup, what from, is it 1992, 93? Let them play, an important game that's going to mean something. And when we're talking about crowds, where they're going to get revenue, I'll tell you what, there'll be a lot more people turn out if they're meaningful games. I do, honestly. I think
fair enough. What do you think? Is that what we should do?
The Yorkshire Lancashire cutback. I do, honestly.
Yeah? At RL, on our way, if you agree, disagree.
Which one would Oxford play in?
Well, is Oxford West or East? I can't remember. I don't know. And if anywhere below Sheffield, I'm a bit lost.
You should have the... If you're going to do that, it'd be the East and West.
Toronto have to be in the...
What about having a South War? Why can't they have their own little competition?
Let them have their own. Stop complicating things, Phil Kaplan.
All
right.
What about taking pre-season games on the road as promotional vehicles? I mean, Wigan do a good job going down to play London Scholars at the Artillery Ground, and they get 1,000 fans.
They'll need to take the proper teams on instead of the kids.
But
you know what I mean?
They? I mean, if you live in Newmarket and you're a fan of rugby league, and Leeds were playing Wakefield on your doorstep, it wouldn't matter that all the top names weren't playing. You get a chance to see Super League in your neighbourhood.
Phil, it's not Super League, is it? Because this is what we spoke about 2 weeks ago with the Harry Jepson thing. It's just the people who are going to be paying good money, they want to see, if not seeing all the quality, they want to see a bit of quality. Does that make sense?
I would have said that most of the friendlies that have been played this year, apart from where Super League teams have been playing teams perhaps from League One, there has been enough quality in those teams to take it on the run. Let's spread the game by putting some of the best players, or even take the best players down to be ambassadors on the day. But rather than just keep them here and then complain about the length of the season but still play 5 friendlies, would there have been any problem taking Salford and Hull yesterday to a new development, take it to Nottingham or somewhere? Would there have been any more or less people there, or would it have just given us a chance to take what is a very good product, going back to what you were saying about how do we sell it, onto the doorstep of people that don't normally see it?
To be honest with you, Phil, they won't take proper Super League games, competitive games, on the road, so what's the point in taking friendlies, to be honest with you?
To get a new audience.
Well, therefore, they should have a round, shouldn't they, Rich, where they take it out and about and say, right, we all fought 2 rounds, and therefore everyone loses 1 home game.
Like the Magic Weekend.
Well, the Magic Weekend should be one Magic of them, week, and then on the road round should
other,
be the other.
This other extra round we've got this year. Well, no, we haven't got an extra round. We've got 2 back-to-back rounds, haven't we, because of the trip to Dubai. Oh, yeah. One of those.
The trip to Dubai that cost the Rugby League £80,000. That one. Even though they've not gone. Do you want to go to Dubai, Scott?
No, it cost them 85. Well, they're doing flying economy. I don't think they'll be flying economy. You're more like around about the 100,000 part, Mark Wilson.
Well, that was my initial quote.
Flying economy.
I was battered down.
And they won't stay at the local rag hotel, I can reassure you. It'll be more around about the 100,000 pound, Mark, I would imagine.
Well, that's the word I believe the clubs have been given, 80,000. So we'll go with that. We'll stick with that. But that was one of your many on your list, John. For those who don't know, you basically came up with a big list of things that you think have gone wrong in the off season, and that the RFL need to act to sort it out. Pretty much, is that where you're at with it?
Yeah, I kind of saw it as 12 months or so of, you know, just listing things that had seemed to have gone wrong, and you know, I guess checking the pulse of the game, because it seemed to me, from talking to, you know, players and coaches, officials, journalists, agents, and there does seem to be a growing sort of, I guess, apathy amongst fans, or people who are lifelong fans who are perhaps walking away from the game or becoming disinterested, and just seem to be so many things pulled together. Bradford, I guess, being the tipping point, when you include Dubai that just happened before it. So it did seem to be just sort of one problem after another, and it seems to be, to me, a crossroads for the game that we need to make some changes now or soon, otherwise we're just going to keep falling down in this hole.
We are often critical of the RFL, and that's not critical just for putting the boot in. We like to think that we ask questions that need asking. And you made a comment about, I think it was yourself, about rugby media not being cheerleaders. We're here to promote the game, but we're also here to keep it on the straight and narrow as well, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, the piece I wrote, I got some support and some criticism, and anything you write, you're going to get both.
At least you know people are reading it.
Yeah,
well, that's the bonus, isn't it?
That's exactly right. But yeah, that's what public relations are for. That's what the media managers are for. I mean, we need to write and think and speak and broadcast critically and, you know, the truth as we see fit. And I don't think we can have a heads-in-the-sand sort of attitude and just think everything's great, ignore all the problems, you know. If we don't talk up about them, they're just going to continue. And, that's, I guess, how I saw it.
I'll tell you what, Mark, as well, do you know, this week, just going on to the Bradford situation again, I don't know, would I be right in saying this, because this is what people are saying to me, and I don't know if the lads themselves agree with this, but everybody's just saying to me, and they're asking the question, Scoey, is it the RFL playing for the Bulls? Is it the Rugby Football League who are paying for the Bulls? I'm saying, well, as far as I'm aware, They may be helping out from a point of view with the rent, but no, it's two guys who have taken over. But I don't think the rugby league public, and it's not Bradford fans. It's, you know, it's people who I know support all different teams. You know, so people asking this question. You know, the RFL are helping another club where they haven't realistically helped other sides.
I did ask that question. Would the level of help have been given to Sheffield or
a
Rochdale? Yeah, and I plucked them figures out, not hoping anything goes wrong, but just as an example.
Yeah.
Would they got that level of help? I don't think they would. I don't say I'm a Bradford fan. I live in Bradford. I don't see what the obsession is of keeping the Bradford
iconic.
Bulls alive.
Iconic
ground. It's a
legendary.
Dump. It's a dump. Literally, it's a dump. Yeah.
So keep being this is why other people
knock
other
it down.
Team
sell it for 30 million for landfill RFL and get some money into the game.
Other team supporters come across as bitter because it does appear from the outside that Bradford have been given every single opportunity to stay alive.
Even Bradford fans are suspicious now.
God,
you know, I know many. We Mark, stopped. This, they've this told is, you last week in the club, but yeah. The local club. Why is this happening? I don't want to buy my ticket because I don't know what's happening. What's your take on it, John?
I'd agree with you 100%. I mean, you look at what happened to the Crusaders. They sort of had numerous issues before they got the axe, and you know, players went without money. They're still without money now, and I don't think really any resolution came from that or any sort of investigation on what went wrong. Just, you know, we moved our focus.
The thing is about being negative. Goes back to what you were saying, what is the role of the media? I think it's to gain a level of accountability from the people that run the sport. And if you're asking questions in a constructive manner, that doesn't necessarily mean you're negative. You might be doing it predominantly out of love because you want the sport to be the best it can be. But the whole idea of a fourth estate in its widest realm is that it's checks and balances. That you don't get the scenario that America is going through at the moment, that somebody can just pass a law without the rest of the world saying, hang on a minute, is this just? Why are you doing it? Just explain to us the reasoning behind it. Give us some degree of who is responsible for it so that if it goes wrong, we can hold them to account for the decisions that they've made. Talking to Nigel Wood on Saturday, he's very proud of what the RFL have done to keep Bradford going. He says that there's a real positive, good story about that, and that those who are overly critical don't fully understand the facts. I think that then goes back to the
tell
fact
us the
that
facts, then.
The governing body themselves need to answer the questions that the media are asking
on
facts. Behalf of the fans.
Right, tell us
so
the facts.
So if the fans have disquiet, I mean, you know, the latest one in the papers today is that season tickets are going to be cash only. Well, that might be for any number of reasons, but bearing in mind that the Bradford public have donated so much cash that they've seen unaccountable to previous administrations, just give the fans the assurances as to where that cash is going. Now, I don't think that's a question that you shouldn't ask, or it makes you negative if you do ask it. I think on behalf of the fans, somebody should be saying, what account is that going into? What safeguards are there that it's not just going to be creamed off? You know, we understand that setting up credit is difficult for a new company in its first few weeks, but we're very sensitive about the idea of cash. Can you guarantee whoever is in charge of that club that money is safe and is going to be spent on recruitment or updating facilities or whatever it is that
it might need to be spent on getting a new coach because Mr. Tuvey apparently
he's not here apparently there's an observer here
he's here as an observer. And he's described it as an opportunity which could yet develop into something more serious. I haven't really made my mind up yet. Well, that isn't what we were told at the media launch.
It's not what was in the press release. Well, apparently his words was it.
Well I was going to say that to you guys as well with what Jeff has said, and to be honest with you, Jeff was at the Lions function on Saturday, and I think because you know I've known him, I've played against him, and you know I've known him for about the years there, and to be honest with you, you know, I said, listen, if you want any help or advice, as we do with Roland Smith, he didn't know what it was like to go to Feverson, didn't know about the hill, so I said, if you want any help and advice, here's my telephone number, you're there. But you can see with that, and also as well with the other two guys in Graham Law, who I've said I've plenty of time for, plenty of respect as a rugby league player, and also to Andrew Chalmers, I don't know a lot about him, but are they in the same scenario as Jeff Tuvey? Are they over here to assess what's going on for a period of time, and if they don't like it, are they going to walk away? Because I can reassure you, when I saw Mr. Chalmers on Saturday, boy oh boy, did he look as though he's got the world on his shoulders. You know, it was a great rugby league occasion, British Lions reunion, fantastic audience, Phil Kaplan was there, and over 300 people there. I'll tell you what, he was just walking around as though, oh, boy, oh boy, what am I doing here? But the question is, I would like to ask and say, Jeff Tuvey doesn't know what he's saying, how long I'm going to be here for. Is it the same position for the two who have bought the club? Because it's the RFL who, people are asking, is it them who are putting the money in?
Well,
at this moment?
Well, this is the problem. They speak about transparency and I know Leon Price said the first thing we've got to do is we've just got to be level. We've got to earn everyone's trust again. Well, the club come out and said, oh, yeah, Jeff Tuvey, great, look at this. And now Jeff Tuvey's come out and said, well, actually, yeah, I might, yeah, well, it's a bit cold. I might not bother. You know, and probably having seen his team lose, or not his team, lose twice already, he might be thinking, don't fancy Ulcair next week. It's mad, isn't it?
Well, I'm still not 100% convinced, despite what the RFL say, that we have been given the definitive reason why they are in the Championship. And I think, again, that's upset quite a few Bradford fans. They have said, I think, both on social networking and in various conversations, that to follow the team, to rebuild the trust that is at the core of what's gone wrong, they would rather start in League One without a points deduction, to go to some new places that they've never been before. There's a little bit of excitement about that, that puts money in the coffers of the Oxfords and the Gloucesters and the Hemels and the Coventries, which can't be a bad thing. And you start at the bottom where they feel that perhaps they even deserve to be, and you enjoy the ride. And you win half the games, and you might get second to Toronto, and you might get promoted. But if you don't, you've had a season in a division that you might end up in anyway. But you're there at the rebirth of something. Why would they, after everything you put the fans through, want to support a team that is starting behind the eight ball with a 12-point deduction? And if the Bradford fans don't travel and get disillusioned and don't buy season tickets, isn't that one of the reasons why they were in the Championship? Because of their core support base? I'm really not sure that the decision is made in the best interests of rugby league, according to the statement that we got, that we've been told what the best interests of rugby league are. It's not actually in the best interests of Bradford, especially if you're a businessman that's putting your own money into it. Wouldn't you be better starting at the bottom and working?
But we asked all these questions, didn't we? We asked all those questions, and we're poo-pooed.
I don't think we've had the answers to them.
And I think, just jumping back from what Phil was saying about asking questions, I mean, when it's happened three times, administration, you need to be asking questions. And Phil was at the briefing in December, and I think Phil asked the question, I think, and the answer from Nigel was everything's, you know, good in the game. And we were sort of, you know, scratching
really?
Our heads.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, there was attendances were ratings, everything was great. You know,
everything's fine.
Less the common sense of, you know, holding a camp in Dubai where someone's been jailed for promoting rugby league. But, yeah, that seems to be the, you know, the message that everything's good, just, you know, keep your head down.
We should run a poll. Should we send Nigel Wood over to Dubai to promote rugby league? Scully, yes or no?
Yes.
He'll be watching on Facebook.
Yes.
Nigel, you'll be watching.
Well, I should have got a tracksuit and a polo shirt in Australia, shouldn't I? Yeah. I got a tie.
Yeah. Yeah. You better use it to hold them shorts up.
I watched that video of you and Steve. I don't know if you didn't even wear the tie. It's no good.
Mind you, to be fair,
the Aussies gave me an England polo shirt. Stephen Huff was wearing his Australian one, and the Aussies, by the way, yeah, it was a little bit tight, were breathing in for about 4 hours, to be honest with you. I'll say before you say
it. Didn't they give you Phil Kaplan's polo shirt, looking at the size
I were breathing in for 4 hours, but, you know, they give me the polo shirt themselves.
Oh dear. Keep your sweets coming in. You can, well, you are watching on Facebook Live, and people have been messaging us, Richard.
Yeah, Stephen says, has the English game developed in the right way with every team now having a chance instead of just Leeds, Wigan or Saints? But he's missed Warrington out there because it's never their year.
Might be this year.
Could be Castleford.
Could be Cass this
could
year.
Be.
You also asked, what's your top four prediction?
Top four?
Yep.
Wigan top, Warrington second. I said St. Helens, but without Matty Smith, they may not make the four now. Hull and Castleford.
Lots of people like your suggestion of bringing back the County Cups.
Hey, Rich, everybody will be coming back on again. Scully's talking sense. Yeah. Absolutely, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, we've blocked all those people and made recommendations to the local health service. So we'll leave it at that for now.
There I go, coming out with a great suggestion. Listen, I should be the marketing man for this greatest game of all. Let me market the game. Yeah. Honestly. Will people listen to me more than Johnny Vegas? Put that one out.
Well, you're a similar build.
Oh, it's a bit harsh, isn't it? A bit harsh. Losing a bit. I've had a dry January until this weekend. Boy, oh boy. Mm. Seeing with some of the Lions. Yes, I tell you what, just we've talked. Go on, Richard, we'll talk about the Lions later on in part two. Go on.
Don't forget the hashtag big names. We've got the Hall of Famer. They haven't got one of those. Charlie says, how do you reckon Salford would do this season? If you're a Salford fan, Charlie, close your ears.
They'll make the 8th, Salford. I think they'll make the 8th. I do.
Will they get Todd Carney, though? Because, again, we talk about...
Oh, is he not coming here? No.
Well, he needs a visa.
I think on Tuesday. He's having an interview on Tuesday, so...
Interview with who?
Jeff Toovey.
in Australia, with the immigration office.
Local bar manager in Salford or someone, is he? Or what, who's he having an interview
let's
with?
Let's just be thankful Donald Trump doesn't run rugby league. That's the only good news.
Yeah, I reckon Salford will make the 8. I do. Yeah.
All right, John, what do you think?
That's a tough one. I was trying to work out the bottom four the other day. I think Salford are a good chance to make the 8, but a couple of injuries, I can see them, you know, their squads are looking a little bit thin, so... It's really a toss of a coin. I'm sitting on the fence a bit on that one.
And have they had 3 significant injuries?
Yeah, they've had pre-season? Well, Araki yesterday. Ben Murdoch Masilla's out for, I think.
It was big for them.
Yeah, 2
literally
months.
And metaphorical.
And the other one, who's now Josh Jones. Yeah.
So 3 of their better players injured in pre-season.
They're bottom 4 for me.
I would have them in the bottom.
Cast iron.
Mark, you can't say that yet. Mr. Kukas is looking after us at Chester Races in May.
Well, when we go, we'll the top be eight. Console him the when he's eight, in the bottom 4, won't we? We better tell him how to get to Dewsbury and Batley. Take an A to Z for him. Rich, you haven't answered the question yet. Salford?
They didn't win that middle bit, along with Wakefield.
They were a drop goal away from being relegated.
Oh. Yeah.
And have they recruited sufficiently to then get them in the top 8? Possibly not.
No.
Hold on, that they wasn't relegated.
No, they were
there you go. They wasn't relegated.
Phil's beloved Hull KR got relegated.
Phil, yeah, your favourite team, Phil. Hull, and he's absolutely delighted. I've tipped him by 60 points that they're going to win this week.
Have you? 60?
60 points against Bradford.
Are they taking it easy, or...?
Well, I think it's per half. I think it's per half.
Well, let's get some more. People are taking the time to message us.
Wayne has asked a good question. Zach Hardacre's cast, is that the key to success for the Tigers? I mean, you think, well... Leeds are going to miss him this year, aren't they? Not the Zach Hardacre of 2016, but the Zach Hardacre of 2015.
It could be one of them, without a doubt. It could be one of them. We all know he's got some big shoes to fill in Luke Dawn, don't we? The way that Luke Dawn played, not just defensively, not just his communication-wise, but certainly on attack. He was playing like a second standoff. Very, very very good creative-wise to take a bit of pressure off Luke Gayle. So, yeah, he's got some big shoes to fill. But if he's got that smile back on his face again, he's a quality player. We all know that. So, yeah, it could be that difference.
Hmm.
Yeah, lots of people get involved on Facebook, which is great. People basically asking where teams are going to finish. Huddersfield asked Jordan, which is, again, close your ears on Huddersfield because we're not too overly confident on their chances in 2017.
Bottom for me. I tell you what as well, have you seen the piece in the League Express what Danny Bruffer said last year with Huddersfield? They won't fit enough. I tell you what, Paul Anderson will be happy at the reading that, won't he? Eh?
I don't know.
He'll be happy at that, won't he?
You hear that quite a lot, don't you? No. When players and whoever in football managers go, our team's not fit enough.
Yeah,
it's almost like I don't know.
Excuse.
Did they have a flood?
Correct.
No, their gym didn't get washed away. No excuses. No excuses. Nice gym they've got, Huddersfield as well. Leeds could do one like that.
From a point of view, you know, Paul Anderson, look at that little thing. Hold on. There were never none of this noises and this sort of thing when I was there and what have you. I think he's...
The interesting thing
for
me...
He's been a bit harsh
there, Danny. ...is who are Huddersfield going to make captain? Because Rick Stone has said he's got a leadership group, he's probably choosing from 5, and in that 5 are Danny Brough and Ryan Hinchcliffe. I'm sure that some of the issues last year were down to that decision to make Ryan Hinchcliffe captain.
Well, without a doubt.
It's a really important one for Rick Stone to get right this year. And if he reverts to Danny Brough, because when Danny's happy, the team are playing normally... Yeah, functioning better. Will that upset Ryan Hinchcliffe?
Well,
was that the decision that was made off the field by Paul Anderson?
Bruffy's the main man at Huddersfield. It's as simple as that. Do you know what? I laugh at times when they say they have a leadership group, about 4 or 5 of them. No. There's a captain and that's it. And when the captain, you know, when the time is right, you know, or if it's required at times to give everybody a kick up the backside and give a bit of roasting, there's only one voice that should be listened to, that dressing room, not a leadership group. That's called experienced players around, do you know what I mean, where you have that. But I don't buy into that scenario.
His leadership group this year's culture. Is that the new
The issue for Huddersfield is they just don't have enough players. And that was the issue last year as well.
Who did they start with the first game, Huddersfield?
Witness.
At?
Witness.
Live on Radio Yorkshire. Right. Friday.
I think right. That will be a relegation decider early on.
Yeah.
Bottom four decider. Really,
could be a low scoring game.
On the famed eye pitch.
Well, being at Widnes last week, and Dennis Betts sort of just quickly dropped in, the two of his players were out for 3 months and another one was out for, you know, for 8 weeks. So
and they've sold the only guy that could get them points.
Well, Bob's actually asked, how do we think Kevin Brown will go at the wire? I don't know if I can speak. He's apparently taking a pay cut, I read today.
According to Ian, I didn't speak to Kevin today, I was at Warrington, but he... All accounts from Tony Smith and everyone else, they're all very happy with Kevin and just come back from Tenerife, so the tans are looking good. But I think Warrington are my pick. I mean, just their squad on paper looks better than last year when you bring in Mike Cooper, Kevin.
Dom Crosby's a big sign.
Dom Crosby. Andre Savelio, who could be anything, he's just got to, you know, get in the right environment. Yeah,
I like Savelio, I do. But also, why did Wigan let Crosby go? Crosby's a good front rower.
They've got a lot of props.
Good front rower, but as far as Kevin Brown goes, yeah, I think he'll be outstanding because the way that Tony encourages, you know, the way the game wants to play, and Brown, he'll get that bit of freedom, and say with the pressure, what Gidley will take off him at time. But I just hope, say, John, that Declan Patton, you know, he doesn't get forgotten, because I think for mine, he should be in the England squad as a halfback. And if we're planning, and I say we're not going to do anything in the World Cup, okay, we might get to the semi-final, but if we get to the finals, only Australia's going to win it anyway, to be honest with you. But Declan Patton should be around it now, because he's going to be a quality halfback. He is. I just hope he's not forgotten at Warrington this year.
I think your pick's Jordan Lilley and Patton, isn't it? Two halves.
Yeah. People keep going at Scoey. Are you Jordan Lilley's, is he olive child or something? So I said, hold on. I said, listen, when I saw Jordan Lilley last year, and I still stick to what I say, when I saw him play against the Kiwis last year, it was absolutely outstanding. The response he got from the senior players, his organisation, and for some reason, it's been taken away from him, and I just don't understand it, John, honestly. This is the reason why I say it. And don't get me wrong here, I like to think I can spot a bit of talent, and I like to think I know what I'm talking about at times. Mr. Wilson, look at the other way he's looking at me. I like to think I know what I'm talking about at times, John, but when I see that, and I certainly saw it in Jordan Lilley there, but now what I'm seeing about him, it's been taken away from what he's doing is playing too close to the book area. He needs to be a little bit away from there.
He ran the show at Doncaster yesterday.
Well, he will do it at Doncaster. Yeah, he will.
Which is good.
Yeah, it gives him that confidence. And Declan Patton is exactly the same. And we've got to give him that responsibility.
The important thing for me about Kevin Brown is this is World Cup year.
Yeah,
That's what I think is going to inspire him. Yeah. At relatively late in his career, he's had a taste of international rugby league again, playing. Yeah. Admittedly, it wasn't a great Four Nations, but he's in the squad.
Correct.
He's now going to a club where he's going to play the style of rugby that suits him and possibly win things. If he doesn't do it this year, he's never going to do
correct.
It. So actually, this is the perfect year to sign him.
You see, also, well,
I've got Warrington.
You have a look at Luke Gayle. You have a look at Luke Gayle's career. Have a look at Luke Gayle's career, and now look at him now. Why is he enjoying himself? Because he's got coaches at Castleford who are halfbacks. They've got coaches at Castleford how he can play, and it's quite simple. You go out there, you've got the freedom to express yourself, and also to your play what you see. And Luke Gayle, he was nowhere near when he was at Leeds, when he got blown out at London, and then went to Doncaster from there. Nowhere near going to be an international player. But now he's come at Cass, been allowed to play, express himself,
but
bingo.
Also has got a good enough pack in front of him to give him the time and the space
to do that. I didn't have a very good pack at Leeds, but it didn't stop me being in half decent standoff, to be honest with you.
Would have been easier.
Half decent.
You've got a high opinion of yourself, haven't you?
Hey, Phil will tell you.
Won some games on his
own.
But the thing about Warrington is I think they have strengthened their pack, which is going to make Kevin Brown
absolutely
thrive. Yeah. And I think that exactly the same with Luke Gayle. He rebuilt his career going to Doncaster, scored a lot of points in the low division, was then taken on at London, but London were a real struggling team, learnt his craft a little bit, but could never really show what he could do. And going to Castleford, and with the pack that they've got, admittedly they had a lot of injuries last year, but they look after him. They allow him to play. And I think that's important. And
I agree.
And it will be for Kevin Brown.
I agree totally. I do.
Good stuff. Lots more interaction coming in.
It's probably the first time a lot of these people have listened to the programme. Where have you been? We've been here all winter.
We've been talking about snooker.
We've been here for the last 3 years, haven't we?
Snooker on Radio York, that great programme we had. Ant has asked his predictions for promotion and relegation this year. I think we all know, well, this ties in with the question from John, who's the best team outside Super League?
I think the £1 million game, I think it's Huddersfield and Lancashire Rovers. That's what I think with the £1 million game, if that's what you're looking at with relegation.
Okay. Do you think we'll see a team promoted this year, John?
I think there's a really good chance. I think Hulk AR, obviously, and I really like what Andrew Henderson's doing at London.
Yeah.
But that top four and that division looks a lot stronger than it was last year when you had Lee probably head and shoulders above everyone else. I think that division, that top four, will be really, really interesting. Featherstone, what they've spent.
Absolutely. Because I tell you what, and I say when I do my column, that for the first one, when the championship starts this weekend, I tell you what, there's some beauties of fixes, isn't there? Absolute mouth-watering fixes when you look at it. Right? And as I say, my son's not too pleased. Oh, we had some water words the other night. When I did my column, it was Friday, actually, because I was away on Friday and Saturday. And when I told my son, Jonathan, that I'd tip Rochdale to beat him by 7 points, he said to me, "You better not have done, Dad." I went, "Well, Jonathan, I have done, you know, I think Rochdale okay, and you seem to be struggling a little bit, you know, in pre-season." He went, "Dad, how can you do that? I'm your son and I'm coaching staff at Dewsbury." I went, "Well, what difference does that make?"
If I was Jonathan, I'd be more worried if you tipped him to win given your record. Well, so.
You know, so, oh, we had some harsh words, honestly. He fired into the old man's
good. Who's going to get promoted? Is the issue, does the championship prepare you enough for the eights? We saw last year with Lee that what got them to the finishing line was being able to buy players going into the eights. The problem, I think, for London and Hull KR is there aren't enough overly competitive games to prepare you to play four Super League teams, and there aren't going to be as many players out there to buy that Lee did last year. Their recruitment was to buy a Super League team in the Championship and almost hold it there until the eights
came. But I think you found Lee learnt last time to take it into... the year the
but
last year when they got
two or three seriously
yeah they did
good
but
players.
They learned the lesson and yeah. I think London have done the same. They brought Soward in, who I think they probably with hindsight didn't get value for money, but I know for a fact they've held money back
who are they going to buy?
Well, that's the conundrum, but the facts are they'll be in a position. I think this year, I've said it before, I think we could have two go up, two go down, because I think there's some very weak teams at the bottom of Super League. If they get injuries at the wrong time, they're going to struggle. Ulcair, you look at their squad, it's good as it is, and it will get better. And I think London will recruit. They're the real deal.
It's a numbers game as well. You look through the Championship preview today, both Ulcair and London have registered 31 players. That's 7 more than some of the clubs that they're facing, so they're already stockpiling talent. The trouble is, if you go through that division too easily without being tested enough, it will catch you out in the eights. We had this debate before. Is the eights doing what we said it would do?
I think the eights this year, the standard of it won't be as high as it has. But you're not going to have I wouldn't imagine as much as, you know, the Bradford fan in me wants Leeds to come bottom of the league and lose every game. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you're going to have a Leeds in there. And Huddersfield, I think they will be in that bottom four. I think Salford will be. Widnes definitely will be. And the other one, a bit of a bum fight as to the other one be. But you look at Widnes now, and John just said they're losing a couple already. You come into the eights and take a couple of you lose Ambry out of that team, and you think where they're going to get a win from?
They're going to have a 22-year-old halfback, and then either Danny Craven or Chris Bridge, and you know, not necessarily always being halves, and that's
always fit in Chris Bridge's history. Yeah, so don't know.
Will this be the last year of the eights? I said it was a 3-year trial. Do you think this will be the last one?
Depends what the broadcaster wants, I guess.
Might depend if Bradford are in the Championship, because we might need them in the Super League.
Toronto.
Yeah, Bradford can have all their games on Premier Sports next year when they're in League One, so that's something to look forward to. We did have a question about that, actually. It's on Twitter earlier from a brilliantly named person called The Real RL Insider.
Yeah.
So they must know, because I don't know anything. Be good to discuss the Toronto TV deal. Not one penny for League One clubs. And then has a comment on what Toronto have paid to become a member of the RFL, but I don't know if we can...
It's a deal that's being done without the consultation of the clubs that are going to have to host the team. They're not getting any money, and as far as I understand it, that some of the clubs are not happy. Some have said, you're not coming in, you know? And why... Potential. I don't know, if you have got Premier Sport and you think, well, actually, I'm not going to go to the game today, I'll watch it on the TV, the home teams that might potentially lose, that might not be a lot of money, But therefore, should there not be some... Well, actually, what we'll do is we'll give everyone $5,000 out of the thing.
You think there should be some compensation, yeah. Definitely. I mean, it kind of smacks of what you see not the Bundesliga, in the Spanish league and in Italy, where certain, you know, Real Madrid and Barcelona get 80% of the TV money and the rest of the top division get what's left.
Yeah.
Which just helps them stay at the top two. I mean, doesn't
it's
make
bonkers,
a lot of sense.
Isn't it? They need to look at that. And it's something or nothing, but you've got lads in that league that are playing probably for £100 a week. So if you can give a team £5,000, that's actually quite a lot of money to them.
Oh, it's massive. Mm. And the very least we should be doing is sending back the best pitches we possibly can to Toronto, because the whole idea of this deal is, 8,000 season ticket holders, hopefully, in the Lamport Stadium, great atmosphere, don't really know who the teams are that are coming over, but our team's winning, hooray, buy me another cause. But when they're over here, the image that we want to send back is that the Toronto are in a meaningful competition. So you need great television pitches, you need a good crowd in the stadium, you need competitive games, which... And I know Toronto are playing it down, saying, you know, we've got this travel to overcome and we don't want complacency to set in. But the fact is that they've built a team that would hold its own at the top end.
Phil,
have
you seen that side?
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen that side? They've got NRL, they've got Super League, they were great. They're going to absolutely murder it, they are.
I honestly do think that we need to decide what we want out of this television deal with Toronto. How do we want it to look going back there? And we're selling it to the Canadian public on the basis of the fact that they're playing London and York and Coventry and names that they'll appreciate and understand, but it won't take them too long to realise that they aren't the top names because there's such a disparity in standard. So again, I think that all needs managing very carefully.
I'm not sure how exactly the BBC did the game on Saturday at Lee Miners, Rangers versus Wigan St Pat's. I think one camera, maybe two. That's fine for an online red button thing, which was a brilliant, exactly. Brilliant thing the BBC did. People think I'm anti-BBC, I'm not. It was wonderful. Dave Wood's commentary, fantastic. If that's going to be the standard for the League One commentary, just one camera stuck at the end of the stand.
But how many of the grounds that they're playing at can cope with multiple cameras?
HD floodlights.
Or even Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And that's in Super League. That's in Super League. On that note, we're going to disappear for a couple of minutes now. We're going to have the news on the back of some messages from our sponsors. So all the people watching on YouTube and Facebook, don't think, they've gone. We're back between 7 and 8 o'clock. More Rugby League chat. Keep your feedback coming in. We will endeavour to get through all of them. We are here every Monday night, 6 until 8.
Proper sport at 6. Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire with Mark Wilson.
Welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. Every Monday night, 6 until 8, we'll be picking the bones out of the Rugby League weekend and looking back at what's happened and looking forward to what might happen. This week, our first live commentary of the season, the first of many here on Radio Yorkshire. We're live from Humberside, Hulkingston Rovers against the Bradford Bulls. You're watching us live on Facebook and YouTube. If you want to get in touch, feel free to comment. Busy studios always, Richard Shawright, Phil Kaplan, editor of 4020 magazine, Gary Schofield, Rugby League Hall of Famer, and John Davison from loverugbyleague.com, our guest this week. A lot of interaction. John wants to know, was that two teas you brought in, Scott? Yeah, it was. Bit weak, this one. Bit weak, but never mind. Any more? What's happening in the world of social media?
Radio is the home of live full match commentary.
Full match commentary is more than anyone else.
Don't miss a minute unless we knock a wire out or anything else. Which is possible, but you know.
Come on, what's happening?
How about other club season ticket holders getting reduced ambition to Toronto's game team in the UK and try and boost their crowds, says Chris. Well, the problem is that cuts down on the money that those clubs would get, I guess. Mind you, I guess people might.
But is the thinking not, yeah. Well, if you get a fiver from a Cass fan, it's better than not having a fiver, isn't it?
True. But
is there an issue about there's going to be more League One shown on television than there is Championship rugby league? That seems odd, somehow. Nothing wrong with Toronto, but are we not missing a trick here?
Don't Sky have in their contract where they can show Championship games? Mm. Well, why don't they then?
Why don't we also, what a couple of years ago when it was on Premier Sports, what the Championship brought, it was quality at times, wasn't it, the Rugby League?
I believe that part of Sky's reason for starting earlier on a Thursday is they are going to show highlights of more games from different divisions, and that will be the... We do care about the Championship.
Yeah, but when they're going to show the highlights? About 2 o'clock in the morning, we'll all be asleep.
No, I think they'll show them between 7 and 7.30 before the game kicks off. They're going to do more of a magazine-style introduction on a weekly basis that will include footage from Championship games, I think.
Well, why don't they show live games? Why don't they make a Championship club? Like, I remember, like, in our days, we played on a Sunday night at 6 o'clock. It would
there
be
is,
brilliant.
There is
it
another
would.
Issue, and again, it is about the money that's available in the sport, but should the... The game itself be making a programme of Championship rugby to sell to terrestrial television
broadcasters.
That yes, there is an issue about the standard and quality of pitches because you need a lot of money if you're gonna have a mixing van and multi cameras. But if you had the old Rugby League Raw style programme, which was a little bit like you were saying that you watched the game between Lee Miners and Wigan St Pat's. And actually, you don't need to have multi-cameras. You don't need to have a video replay. It's actually quite a throwback, and there's almost a recognition feel to it. That if you had a programme that was made up of highlights of that, with proper interviews with people from the Championship, with an insight, a panel or something like that, should we not be making that in the same way that the RFU make
programme? We make a programme, and we give it away. In the same way that, you know, the world golf and tennis and all the major sports bodies have these programmes they just throw out to broadcasters around the world.
With the department that we've got at the RFL that is the digital department, and we give those highlights away. We get maybe a sponsor to back it to defray some of the costs, but it goes on Channel 4 or Channel 5, and it is the Championship highlights package.
There's never been a better opportunity to get sport on TV because there's never been as many channels out there desperate for content.
Well, I can remember a dance tournament last night that was on ITV 74 or something. I didn't even know it was on.
And they've just got their own magazine programme that comes out monthly where they talk about dance. They spend an hour talking about dance, just people sat around. Mm. But that's on TV.
We do need to do more, John, don't we, as a sport?
Oh, definitely, and I agree with exactly what Rich and Phil were saying. I think live streaming is a big possibility. I mean, why can't the RFL? I mean, it's kind of a use it or lose it thing with Sky and the Championship. If they're not going to show games, we'll live stream a game on our website. Yeah. You know,
give it to somebody else. Let somebody else.
Even just put it on the RFL website or through YouTube. It's very inexpensive to do that. You know, one camera. It's better than nothing, and I think they'd be very surprised by the amount of people who tune in.
You're a fan of American football. How did that get a toehold in this country? Because for me, it was in the early to mid-80s. It was showing highlights packages. We didn't know who the teams were, but you stick an hour together of the best touchdowns or defensive tackles from the games, you suddenly think, when this comes around, I'll make a cup of tea and I'll watch this. I don't need to support Cincinnati or Atlanta or even know where Green Bay is. If you're going to show me an hour of great highlights of people belting the hell out of each other,
they have the red zone on a Sunday, which basically just shows you what's going on as it happens. Now, I appreciate we might not have the resource to do that, but then at the end, they show you every touchdown that's been scored today. Now, surely we could do that. That would be something easy, wouldn't it?
The Championship rugby has a certain honesty about it.
Yeah.
And that even if it's a blowout game, there's always things to admire and watch. And it's a great introduction, perhaps, in a highlight package to people that don't need to get involved at Super League level to start with or understand what the offside rule is. Rugby League Raw was an award-winning programme because it featured the characters. And you're more likely to find them in the Championship where it's part-time than you are in Super League.
There was
where
a feeling when the games were on was it Wednesday, Thursday night they were on initially? And you get more people watching that in a local pub because there was, like you said, there was an honesty about the game. And generally, they're actually pretty entertaining.
It was innovative because they were the first people to allow cameras in the dressing rooms, to mic up coaches on the touchline. All the things we now take for granted were actually done in programmes like that. And we've still got that product. It just seems odd to me that Toronto will be showcased every week and they're playing at a level. Super League has its own coverage. The bit in the middle in our sandwich He's not covered until round 24.
Well, as we say, when we can go back a little bit, can't we? When we had the Floodlit Cup, BBC was a great. That was a cup competition, but then even after that, you know, the old scrum down on a Sunday night. You know, everybody on a Sunday night, because back in them days, the closing time or half past seven, but people just rush back to get back, you know, to watch scrum down on a Sunday night. So I just can't understand it, where we can't show the Championship or show a highlights programme on a Sunday night, and people would absolutely love it. The viewing figures would be great, honestly,
well,
they would.
But part of the problem, and this is what we've tried to say when we've spoken to the Rugby League, is if we've got our Last Tackle show, it's back next week, you better watch that on YouTube, it has its own little band of following. If we could add more to it and get more people to watch it, we're happy to give it a platform. Once you've got a platform, then it has a value. And yes, then it has a value, absolutely, you can sell it. Mm. And then you make some money out of it. And I'm with John, use it or lose it. If they're not going to use it, let someone else have a go at it and see where it goes
and
from there.
You mentioned the phrase at the beginning about the Johnny Vegas advert that you thought, quite rightly perhaps, that it's preaching to the converted. I think you use the vehicle of a Rugby League Raw Style Championship programme to sell it to new audiences.
Mm.
It's traditional kit, it's old style grounds. It's blood and thunder, almost. It's not as fast as Super League, so you can appreciate the skill a little bit more. You've got a saleable product there that you could put out. It would become cult viewing.
Because I was just going to say to you, therefore, you just use that word there. The product we have got, second to none, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Game of Rugby League is absolutely a great, great product. And how we can't sell it to anybody else, it absolutely amuses me.
And if you were
absolutely
Kingston,
amuses
if you were
me.
Kingston Press, why wouldn't you want to back that?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, but we don't do it, we don't market it properly. Listen, we're kicking off for the Super League. How many days away now is it?
Nine.
9 days away, and now all of a sudden we're putting out this advert. Why is it, as I say, why has it happened? Why didn't it go out at Christmas time? Why didn't it been out 3 weeks ago? It's ridiculous.
Do we know what this year's slogan is? Or do we have to wait?
I presume it's different league.
Different league.
Is what? What's it called?
Different league.
I'm not sure why this year too, we've got the launch at Lee on Thursday, but we've got the launch for everything. So we've got Super League, Championship, Championship One, and also
Community, Wheelchair Rugby League, Women's Rugby League.
All in one event. So is that sort of a funding cut reason? Or last year we had a separate launch, and I think that worked quite well. You can't get around and interview 100 people at once.
Well, don't say, John, as well, don't you think it should be a different launch? Because they're different competitions, totally.
I think they'll
different
sell
competitions,
it.
Different sponsors. Surely there should be a different
they'll
launch.
They'll sell
shouldn't
it
they?
As yeah. a whole game approach.
Hmm. Let's have some more feedback, please.
I just wish that the products we have out there on television were better than they are. Bob says, should the last 16 of the Challenge Cup be played as the Magic Weekend?
We've had this before. Yeah. I'd say the last 8 should, and that is a potential. We mourn about crowds in the Cup. Can't sell them out.
Double
the only
the
problem is,
you don't know who's going to be playing.
You don't know if your team's going to be involved, but I dare say you'd get more in a stadium.
Especially if you're somewhere like Newcastle, which you can sell as a party destination.
Well, this is my question. The RFL go, oh, we've got all these places interested in Magic Weekend. Right, well, why don't we say, right, OK, well, you can't have Magic Weekend, but what we'll do is we'll give you a Challenge Cup semi-final, so get us 50,000 there and we'll bring it back next year. We don't do that, do we? It's like we're embarrassed to take it to Lee so it looks good on the telly that everyone's all packed into a little 12,000 grand. Nothing against Lee, lovely ground. Not that's not my point. It should be in a 30,000 seat stadium and we should be selling it out. But
I know, I agree with you completely. And we went to Coventry. I mean, where's the plan for a Wigan Leeds and a Coventry v Toronto doubleheader or something, similar? People in Coventry are just like, well, we're not going to see that sort of class of rugby league that we had from the Four Nations.
Substitute Bristol, which we've said many times.
Yeah, well, many
times. World Cup again, yeah.
But is that something we need to do? Is that where we chalk it? Is it the semi-final that we say, right, we are, we're going to take it X, Y, Z, that's where we're going?
I think if you said at the start of the season that the Challenge Cup semi-finals will be a doubleheader at Nottingham Forest and you announce that now, people would buy tickets irrespective of whether their team is ultimately going to win.
Yeah, I think they would.
A, because they get 2 games of rugby league, and that's great value. Mm. And whoever's playing, you're going to see something worth seeing. But the other thing is, you want to be part of breaking new ground. So why wouldn't you?
And have we still got that ridiculous gap between the quarter-final and the semi? You could actually, that does give a lot of people time to get ready. But I think that's how you grow, that's how you take the game out. And you say, right, we're 2 really meaningful games. These are not friendlies. We want you to watch this.
The good news with Nottingham as well, to go back to last year's programmes, is I think there's a Hooters there as well.
So. Oh, yes, yes. You'll be pleased with that, Scotty, won't you?
Delighted.
Marvellous. Move on.
Mark is a new listener. He's talking about Denny Solomona, but we're still waiting for that to due process on the Denny Solomona situation, aren't we? But thanks for listening, Mark. Jimmy says Sky could do championship games online. Well, or just ask, can clubs put them online? Maybe as a pay-per-view thing. I know ice hockey clubs do this, where you pay them.
The All Golds do that, don't they?
Make a magazine programme whereby everybody gets a share of it. But the other thing with that is that we also need to showcase the personalities. So if you've got that game, and you've got some of our star names are either on the touchline or... Earl Crabtree's just retired. And he is a marketable personality for the sport. He's different. He looks different. He's got a relationship with another sport that a lot of people know about. He could benefit from being the touchline reporter for the championship games. Now, again, it's not just do we put the highlights on. It's what added value do we get out of it? If we can get a whole new generation of potential star broadcasters, why wouldn't you do it?
I don't know. I'm with you. I'm with you. I agree. We should use these people more than we do.
Yeah, turn them into personalities.
Burnley Lincoln, by the way, is the first tie out of the hat. Burnley against Lincoln.
Because we do tend
in the
to...
FA Cup.
Is this the Yorkshire Lancashire Cup?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Lincoln fans are very excited, but they're only...
I think they're thinking Burnley. Really?
Where's that?
Yeah. Tough place to go, probably won't win there either.
Facebook's great, we don't have to do any prep for the show now. People just ask questions.
Oh, that's well, then. So we don't have to do any work. You're giving the illusion we actually do some prep, which is, I think that's misleading.
Sean wants to bring back promotion and relegation. Chris says we should bring back the County Cup standing on Boxing Day.
I agree.
The season's going to go on forever. And Petri says we need less games, not more.
I agree.
Kev says Phil should be CEO. I'm assuming if
hold on, hold on.
Oh, God.
I don't know how to use Facebook, but how do I block him?
Who's that
Kev,
from?
Sorry.
Who's that from, Rich? Who's that from?
That was from Kev.
Sir Kev.
Yeah. Blackburn Man U. I'll just shout them out as they come in.
John says, what should the slogan be instead of different league? Was it, this is different,
I like different
dot
league
dot.
Because I think we are in a different league as a sport. I think the key word, there's another debate to be had here, is league. And some of the people have mentioned that the Johnny Vegas advert refers to Super League and the word rugby is virtually omitted from it. I'm not sure that's a bad thing. We've had this debate before. Our unique handle is league. So I quite like the idea of different league. Because we are in a different league.
Sutton have drawn Arsenal, by the way. Sorry to jump in. That's what awesome. A tie that is.
Can
for
we
them.
Get our Challenge Cup draw on the one show? Can we get on there?
They haven't been home since yesterday, they haven't. Sutton. Drawn Arsenal at home. Leeds have just lost £3 million. Unbelievable.
Make sure BT have got some wipes for the camera.
Yeah. Sorry to jump in there, but, I mean, look, you know, that is a good news. If only we had this reaction to the Challenge Cup draw.
But Toronto was drawn. You build it.
Lee Miners Rangers.
Yeah.
Well, Toronto are in the Challenge Cup, aren't they, this year, for the first time. That's where they're going to make their competitive debut, so...
Well, I'll tell you what, hey, listen, if the draw goes all right for Toronto...
They can't play at home. Before you start saying, I want a freebie... It's like...
Big Nines did confirm there are plans for a media jaunt to Toronto.
Actually, he did mention to me that I might be invited to that one, to be honest with you. Did Nines, so thanks very much for that. But I wasn't going to say that, Mr. Kaplan. What I was going to say was, if the draw is kind to Toronto, they could quite easily make the quarters or the semi-final with the players and what they've got. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for a freebie, but if there's one, I'll take it. I'll take it. But what I'm saying is, with a team what they've got, Phil,
absolutely.
You know, if the draw's kind to them as well, John, they could quite easily make the quarters and maybe
wouldn't
the semis.
Would you see Toronto play Lee?
The great thing would be to play a Super League team, to get to the point where they actually play a Super League.
I think Toronto-Lee would just be a fantastic game, a lot of stories.
Why is that, then? Do you think there'll be a bit of needle?
I think there already is no love lost.
Do you think there's a bit of needle, eh? Yeah, a bit of needle between Toronto and...
By the way, Huddersfield have got Man City at home.
Oh, lovely.
So there you go.
Oh, lovely.
Loads of ideas.
Are West Ham still in it? Your team?
No.
Oh, move on.
Loads of ideas today on Facebook from our new friends. Has Rugby League lost its way when they brought in Super League? It re-energised it. Does it need new invention? And somebody else has said we should scrap Super League and rename it the Elite League. Super League is out of date, says Mike. The problem is there's already an Elite League in ice hockey.
Elite League
and
Speedway, isn't it? Yeah.
And do we really want to be... And I'm a ice hockey fan from the old days, but do we want our sport to be compared with both of those who are...
Hey, Richard, though, let's not forget here. We've lost the name rugby in that, because it's called Super League. It's not Super Rugby League. We've lost that identification there, Rugby League, to be honest with you, haven't we? We've
Game
lost
of that 13.
Word rugby in there. So we don't want any other sort of made-up... You know, marketing.
The only problem with, I think, Super League is the way to brand the sport, and we should have the Super League Championship, the Super League Premiership, the Super League Division One, whatever. The problem is in Australia, because it's got to be a global thing. You'd have the Super League Test Series. There's still baggage, and John, you were presumably there when the Super League war broke out.
Phil, I was still classed as Super League Europe.
On the basis of Catalan.
What happens when you're
talking? Yeah, I understand. Now, I wasn't very good at geography at school,
The plans of the great Maurice Lindsay, when he stood up in 1995 and said, we'll be playing games in Barcelona and Milan and...
Framing the future.
Dublin. Hasn't quite happened.
China. That might be... What about China. You?
China's where...
A new frame in the future. Why don't we, you know, bring Nelly in? You know?
There's a really...
Bellevue's been condemned again now. Don't condemn Bellevue again.
There's a really good question there at the back of that about the identity of rugby league in the modern world, in the modern professional sporting world, and how we see ourselves. And I think that's a big piece of work that needs to be done as to... Are we more geographically insular than we've been in the last 22 years? The whole idea of Super League was a brave new world. It was never really fully defined what that would be, but it was less teams playing more intense matches over a wider geographical area. And I think we all bought into that. And for a while we had that. There was one famous weekend when we were playing in, was it five different countries at the same time? With Wales, Scotland, England, France, Toronto. But we had a lot of interest in places that we didn't normally play. We're constricted going into Super League 22. We seem insular. So I think there is a change that is needed in terms of where we're going to be in 5 years' time. And that might involve making league the key word in your marketing
strategy.
I
agree. But also as well, when we're talking at this moment in time, and what's happened certainly this off-season, Phil, and also to you, John, it's quite simple. Where will the game be in 5 years? Where are we going? You know, we question, where is the leadership? Where is where is the game going? And where will we be in 5 years?
Where do we want to be is the first question.
I agree.
I mean,
Where will the game be in five years?
I would use as an example, Ireland. We've got quite a number of people playing at domestic level in Ireland, to the point where even some of their players are now being signed by League One and Championship clubs. So there is a talent pool emerging there. You've got Ireland, who are going to the World Cup, and this will be, is it third in a row that they're going to? And the last twice they've been highly credible, very determined, really well coached, extremely proud. They all went out and got tattoos in 2008 together because they were such a bonded group. Is it beyond the realms of possibility to say in 5 years' time we should be looking at rugby league being played at a professional, semi-professional level in Ireland? And that if we're going to do that, we need to commit an amount of money to a development officer now who will report back by holding elite performance training camps. We'll be talking to the rugby union players. I believe there was maybe only two or three provinces in Ireland that are fully professional. They're very, very good. Munster and Leinster are top-level teams. But the 51st, 52nd, 53rd rugby union, best rugby union player in Ireland will be good enough to play rugby league. So what is the incentive for us to, you know, spread the game? It's easier to get to Dublin on a plane than it is to drive on the M62. But it's not going to happen overnight. Should we not?
Well, let's hear from John. He is our guest. I feel we've not heard from him tonight.
No, I think you're right, Phil. I did a story a week ago about, I think there's a group in Florida that's approached the RFL for very early talks about doing a Toronto and entering a team. I mean, obviously that would be several years away, but I think there are, you know, I think Toronto have obviously broken the mould, and that sort of opens up the doors to other markets, and I think that is the future. I think if we stay the way we are, there's arguably too many professional, semi-professional clubs in the UK with small audiences and small markets that we do need to look abroad. to grow the game, and I think that will bring in new sponsors, new money.
And new players,
but to
which
do,
is the other thing.
Yeah, but to do that, we do actually need to spend money on development. And it does seem to be, you know, with Dubai and Wayne Bennett having 15 assistant coaches or however many it is, there's a lot of money spent on the top end of the sport, but what's going into coaching and
development? Well, that 80 grand that they wasted going not going to Dubai would have paid probably for three lads to go around the schools in wherever
well,
you're talking
same,
about now or whatever for a year.
To Scotland or to Wales.
Correct. Well, yeah. You've hit on the point there with development officers, and you mentioned that money there where my great mate, you know, my own mucker Crooksy, he was a development officer in Gateshead, lost his job. Like a
made redundant.
Made redundant, you know. Yeah. So how are we going to develop the game when we are looking, you know, to do that? Then all of a sudden we're getting short of them. So how can we develop the game when there's no money for that, you know? And I can reassure you as well, Lee. You know, I think he's been up there 3 years now. He was absolutely gutted that he lost that position there because he felt as though yeah, okay, maybe a little bit moving forward slowly, but he would reckon, you know, he reckon he was getting results from there. So you know, he was absolutely gutted that he lost that position.
And that's in a place where we've just taking the magic weekend.
Absolutely.
Where we're actually
absolutely
saying, here's our best product. Here you go.
Yeah.
But by the way, yeah, well, we're not really bothered.
But the success of Super League has been Catalan, who have come from almost a standing start to within 11 years, one of the best financially sound clubs with a good, solid supporter base and a big economic support. That's because they're a regional club. They're not Perpignan. They're appealing to a wider audience that goes into another country. People will travel 2 hours to go and watch the Dragons play because they represent the region of Catalan. We've got a blueprint there. We had it in Wales. It's a scandal. Going back to what you said about the Crusaders, that we never got to the bottom of why we don't have professional team in Wales. If you look at somewhere like Ireland, which is just an example at this stage, there will be businesses within the Emerald Isle that would want to get involved with a new sport if they could at the top level. And again, how are you going to get development officers? By getting new money into the sport. How do you get new money into the sport? By taking the sport to those regions.
Well, do we need to say you put Ireland and Scotland in to the champ or into the
you
actual
have a
structure
pathway to get them in
and put, well, just put them in as a club. That's right, as a club we're having a Scotland team that you in you come. Because in effect, New Zealand Warriors were absolutely New Zealand in
well,
the NRL,
Auckland,
weren't they?
And, yeah. And as Phil said about being regional, they rebranded, I guess, to get the whole two island support apart from just Auckland. Because if you're outside Auckland, generally everyone hates you in New Zealand. They're quite parochial, I guess.
But they play games in Christchurch now.
Well, they play games all over. And the Bulldogs take games in New Zealand. Manly have taken games. Yeah, they spread. And you look at what's happened in rugby league in New Zealand. You know, the depth of players that they have now is better than they've ever had before. They're under 20s, you know, the top of that comp generally every season, and there's Kiwi players at all the top NRL clubs, so that's had a massive effect.
You see, again, when we look at the development, and as we all know, all the clubs now, they have their own academies and the scholarships, and they get the kids from 12 and 13, but unfortunately, when they don't think they're good enough at 18, 19, they say, see you later, we don't know, we couldn't care less where you're going, so off you go. You know, so We're losing so much talent, you know, because at times, you know, the scouting system's poor. We're missing out the talent there for the recommendation that they should get Super League contracts or into the Championship. So the talent what we are losing as 18 and 19 year olds as well, is bucket loads, absolutely bucket loads. I hear parents who speak to me and say, my son is so disillusioned with a game because they've been told to do A, B, C, and D, up to Z from a point of view, what time they have to go to school, what time they have to come home from school, what they have to eat at night, what time they have to go to bed, and they just get totally disillusioned, and with all that false promises from there, but there's got to be another option for them when unfortunately they do get blown out from there. And as you say, why not go to Ireland or Scotland? Correct.
Exactly.
Why not go there? Give them an
option. Stop banging the desk.
Oh, sorry. I get a bit frustrated at the moment.
I know you do.
It
makes less noise.
I get a bit frustrated.
A lot of those 19, 20-year-olds are going to Queensland or New South Wales to play because they can play semi-pro.
They'll get an opportunity.
They'll work in the local mines.
My lad did, Johnny. He went to Newcastle, Charlestown. There, you know, opportunity there came up for him, you know. So, but over here, you know, at 18, 19 year olds now, when they get blown out by the Super League clubs, they just get lost to the game. And there should be, you talk about a pathway, Phil, there should be that pathway for them to stay in the game, shouldn't there? They should.
Not every player peaks at 2019, do they?
Absolutely. I had Alex Worms with me, John, you know, and I can tell you, Leeds, Cass and Hull, I said to him, hey, listen, get this kid here, he is sheer quality, said to me, oh, because he's 19, they're coming up 20. He's missed the boat. Mm. But he's doing international play now.
If you need a squad of 30 players to be competitive, then if you can't find 20 of them in Ireland who are currently either playing rugby league, who are playing rugby union, over a period of 5 years, you can mould them into a team. You then add some heritage players from Australia who've got, you know, we've seen people like Shannon McDonald who've got Irish Pat heritage. Pat Richards. I think we need to play to our strengths, and that does involve a small amount of investment, but the bigger question is, where do we want the sport to be in 5 years' time? And is that question being answered enough by the governing body?
It's been answered by our listeners, who are all going, it'll stay the same or go backwards, because we're, you know, completely cynical. But
lots of tweets at RLNY and lots of Facebook.
I've been ignoring the Twitter.
And what I must not apologise to people that listen every week and are used to how it all works. We're getting a lot of new listeners that are watching on Facebook and on YouTube. They've probably not heard us before, so apologies if we're like going over old ground, but it is the start of a new season, and we want to get everyone involved as much as we can. So, Rich?
You can tell we're all cynical old people going, oh, rugby league is going backwards. But Gemma Carter, of course, who's a fresh face in the press box with sweets.
And the columnist.
Hold on, sweets.
It's been sweets.
I don't know anything about this. Magazine, yeah. Mrs. Carter's case book.
It's been sweets. Yeah. She says, I think if things are moving forward, it may be slower than we would all like, but she's keeping faith. So there's one positive person listening to the programme today, so that's positive. Vic wants some tales from Scory about old games between Leeds and Bradford Northern, talking about blood and stuff in the olden days. Andy says, do you think Widnes will spend the transfer money paid for Brown? It sounds like they need to. Well, I guess we'll find out. Is there anyone out there? Dean thinks Wakefield seems to have strength in depth.
Agreed.
Oh, excited. I know Stephen thinks Tom Johnson should be knocking on the door of the England squad. He's going to play for Scotland, isn't he, now? So that's all right.
Who is?
Tom Johnston.
In the World Cup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I can
World Cup,
that,
yeah. Yeah, but like we said, that's the lure of international rugby league, isn't it?
Absolutely.
They just want to be there.
Yeah. Philly, giving the experience to step up a level.
Philly says, never mind Ireland. What about Cumbria? Well, back to Cumbria again.
Yeah. Fair enough, but are they all going to join up? My point, and one we've covered again, you think now Scotland have got the World Cup. If they had three meaningful games in the season, everyone would be putting their hand up to play, wouldn't they? Because they all want to go, wouldn't they?
And doesn't that help, again? We can't generate a State of Origin-type fixture in the Northern Hemisphere. Mm. The one, for me, is not, with the greatest respect, going back to Yorkshire and Lancashire. I think the game's moved on from that. It's getting a proper four-nation-style tournament here of our own. So France is, at the moment, taking small steps to improve. There are more French players playing for other Super League clubs, which can only be a good thing. The onus is not solely on Catalan. It also means that Toulouse have got a role to play in the development of French rugby league. Great, they're going up. They need to play England in the same way that we need to play Australia and New Zealand. They need to play us. Scotland, Wales, Ireland are all going to the World Cup. You know, if people like, for example, Keith Galloway is as committed to Scotland as we all believe he is, and he's absolutely genuine, then if he was to play a mid-season international for Scotland, that can only help England. But it gives us another saleable product that you could even give to other broadcasters rather than Sky. So I think, yeah.
Bit of breaking news. Dane Chisholm has signed for Sheffield, the Bradford reject. I can call him a Bradford reject because
well,
he
tweeted
didn't
he was
want
back
him
in the country.
Well, he's got to play for Sheffield.
He's been tempted by the lure of playing at the home of rugby league.
He has. Yeah. That's right.
Well, you see, when you mentioned Scotland as well, Phil, as I say, the atmosphere was created up at Workington there. You know, I'd say the Cumbrian people absolutely love international rugby league up there. And along with, as I say, the
Kiwis
way that,
liked it.
The long, you know, that Steve McCormack gets them. It's what, John?
I said the Kiwis liked it, didn't they?
Ah, they morning. I'll tell you what, you've been in New Zealand as well as I
It's never rained in Auckland.
Some of them grounds are out there absolutely pathetic, I'll tell you. Don't worry about that. But yeah, you know, the atmosphere, what's created there and what have you. And I think, you know, McCormack, the way that he wants it, and say, certainly take the product to Cumbria. Sensational, it is.
Yes, so breaking news then, a half-back there, not wanted by Bradford, but he's back in
How many players has Bradford got now?
I don't know. Let's get through some more of the Sean's been on a few times as well. I'm conscious we don't want to ignore these.
Who's promoting Super League, he says, because he doesn't get a mention anywhere. Mike, along the same lines, I don't think the RFL promote the game enough nationally. Where's the TV advertising? Where's the radio advertising? Billboards? We see nothing. People still get mixed up between Union League, and that's down to the game not being advertised enough.
Fair enough.
Is there the budget to advertise Rugby League on TV.
Think of 80 grand. Oh, no, 80 grand, yeah, we've spent that. Yeah. Better move on.
I think the other thing is we need to get a sense of perspective about our sport as well. There aren't that many people that play it professionally. We are a big minority sport. We're not football, so you can't compare us to the Premiership. We're not rugby union in terms of the geographical spread that they have, and more importantly, the international dimension that brings in millions of pounds to enable them to market the sport. We get the column inches I think we deserve. We need to work harder to make those column inches turn over. So again, I wouldn't get too hung up about the RFL not spending money they don't have to promote it. You've got to have people willing and stories that are good enough to dominate those little bit of column inches that you get, and that's where we need to make more of the personalities that we've got.
One would also hope that now the BBC have appointed a rugby league correspondent, which they hadn't got until last week or whatever, that does mean there are, and again, not going back to the point earlier, the rugby league media should not be cheerleaders, but Sally, bloody hell, you go to the BBC section of the Rugby League website there, and it's all doom and gloom, and the third, fourth, fifth page of analysis on why Bradford failed, and digging up that chronic report George Riley did a few years ago, yet again. You know, let's have some positivity from them as well. But again, going back to it, the coverage was great on Saturday, and we need more of that. But we need more Rugby League infused in other areas of the BBC.
I'll tell you what as well, when we look at the promotion of the game and the marketing, I'm just looking here now where the Auckland Lions are coming up over in Australia. When's that due, Phil?
This weekend.
This weekend, and I'll tell you what, I hope we don't do a British nine because they're bringing Ruben Wickie out of retirement. I'll tell you what, I'm glad that they're moving it over because I couldn't fancy coming out of retirement myself, but they're bringing an heavyweight boxer, then this young kid who signed for the West Tigers, the quality rookie who signed the biggest contract.
$1.3 million,
you know, so again...
Like 2 years, two games, who?
Yeah, when we talk about marketing the game and when we talk about selling it to TV and all this sort of thing, you know, why don't we think of a nines tournament? Or because I know Phil, you're not into because we think we play too many games as well. But this would be great for the game as a pre-season. This would be great for the game over a weekend. And why not take a nines tournament, as we say, have it to Nottingham, or back up to Newcastle, or to Bristol, or to Coventry?
Or how
it would be great, wouldn't it?
Barcelona.
I'm off for Barcelona.
That's where I'd take
What about Dubai? I'm anyway on a freebie.
I'd take a pre-season nine tournament to Barcelona.
Why not?
Somewhere warm. Somewhere sunny. Yeah. Somewhere we can get a crowd, yeah.
You know, when we're talking about the product, the great product, what we've got, you know, we all seen what the Auckland Nines is all about, the crowds, what they get there, whatever. Why don't we have a nine tournament before the season starts?
Because
to play silly friendlies, don't we?
Because we play too many games.
Oh, well.
It's another reason to get rid of the eights.
Well, this is, well,
to bring in an international dimension mid-season that involves Scotland, Wales and Ireland.
Well,
to bring in a nines tournament at the beginning.
Right.
To make the Magic Weekend part of the season rather than onto the season.
Right.
I think it's what you do with your time.
Right. So when we're talking about marketing the game properly, when we're talking about bringing extra revenue into the game, and then also too we're talking about developing the game, we're talking about development officers. If we don't bring in more revenue, attract more sponsors, attract more TV money, then how the hell are we going to do it? If it gets thrown away straight away because we play too many games. Well, if we play too many games, make it short so we can put tournaments like this on.
Well, you go to new markets. That's how
exactly.
You get new money.
Exactly.
If the perception of major businesses is that you are geographically limited, your value is limited pro rata. If you go and do something like a Barcelona Nines, you're opening up airlines, Visa cards, travel agents, whatever it is. Mm. How do you bring more money into the sport? You take the sport to the money.
Absolutely.
You don't wait for the money
Absolutely.
To come to the sport.
Absolutely. Tell you what, yeah, I agree with that comment that guy on Twitter said 15 minutes ago. Make you the chief executive. You'll get my vote. What do you reckon, Mark Wilson?
I'm getting worried about our listeners, Rich. I really am. I really am.
It's all this voting about things I was like concerned about. You can't trust the public these days. I'm all in favour of taking the game of North Korea. You know, Kim Jong-un's the way forward.
I'm not going there.
Yeah? North Korea have not lost the game of rugby league for about 70 years.
Craig is one of many who says, why don't we bring back Yorkshire versus Lancashire?
But again, shorten the season, you can do.
Yeah. Yorkshire and Lancashire, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, whatever. Chris says, NRL clubs are now pulling their top players from the nines. Well, there's a surprise. The should the NRL award two competition points to the eventual winners? They get $1 million or everything as well.
I think the exciting thing, again, about watching it over the last couple of years is you get to see some of the stars coming through as well.
And the youngsters, look at this Rookie of the Year, you know what I mean?
Bevan French last year.
Yeah, we get to see him, don't we?
Josh Shadow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, these kids are exposed on television, national television, all this sort of thing. Some of our kids want to be exposing, don't they? You know what I mean? Let's show the talent. Let's see the talent.
Leeds fans may well remember that Matt Parcell looked fantastic in the Lions. That's where he's...
That's his first game for Manly. Yeah.
Tell you what, Phil, you've taken to this Matt Parcell. I'm going to be scrutinising him, just like I've scrutinised Hulkeston Rovers sacking Albert Kelly with you, son. I'm going to be scrutinising you, Mr. Kaplan.
Interesting to know what you think.
I'm looking forward to seeing him play, son. Looking forward to seeing him play. And hopefully, he gets us back to the top of Super League. He gets us doing the treble again, so we can keep Mr. Wilson and Mr. Shawright quiet.
Hopefully,
he walks
out of his contract.
Hopefully.
Well, that's one, dude.
Richard.
John was asking how Gary sees the present situation at Leeds. Well, he's obviously very confident, Sean McConnell. Sean says you bring back the Regal Trophy. Now he's just bringing back old trophies again. These are all me on the... Should there be one league winner and treat the Super 8s as a separate competition altogether? Wigan are classed as champions this season. Hull won the league. Warrington the Shield. How are Wigan champions? Well, the grand final.
Yeah, the rules is the
rules. The rules is the rules out there, you know what I mean?
The best team wins the grand final, and we used to have the championship that was decided by the top four.
Just get there a bit sooner.
Yeah, just take out... If at the end of 23 rounds we'd seen Lee, who were top of the championship, play Huddersfield, who were bottom of the Super League, Lee would probably have got promoted, so we would have been where we were. We wouldn't have had the extra 7 weeks that we didn't need.
The only thing is, Huddersfield didn't get relegated, did they?
Michael says, expansion is the only way. Four London sides played, London Scholars at the weekend. At the London Scholars at the weekend. Chargers scored 116 versus Bridgend in the Challenge Cup. Great day. Not for the Bridgend people, it wasn't a great day. 116 points.
Yeah.
I say as well.
We've got told to back them scoring minus eight as well. Someone said to Liam, who works here, his mate's a bookmaking trader, and he said, back them minus eight, they'll win. 116-0, forgot to back them.
All right. But anyway, if my good friend Lionel Hurst is listening, he's down in Gloucester, they say, I'm still waiting for my invite. I'm still waiting for my invite down there.
You ring him up, scoring, just ask him.
I'm sick of ringing him up. Is that time?
I think he might be telling
us. He's
changed his
number. Is he trying to tell me something, Mark Wilson?
You've got to ring on my phone. I bet he answers. Right? I bet he answers.
Andy mentions when Catalan played Warrington at the Olympic Stadium in Barcelona. More of that would be a good and ideal for a pre-season nines. That's got a Barcelona. Be good. Dave says he's got a new word. Scrutinise.
Scrutinise? Who never said that?
I think when you talk about Matt Parcell, I think.
Whenever I said scrutinise, a lad from Bilal using quite sophisticated words.
So, mate, we did say, actually, new series, it was £5 a Bilal, so that's 10 you owe. Chucking a fiver because I've just said it, so that's 15.
are we secretly funding the new Bradford Bulls? Is that what we're doing? Well, Chris has answered his own question about the Catalans playing a game in Spain, because they have. Gemma says, you need to convince the clubs about a nines. The Dubai plan went down like a camel on ice. Yes, the Dubai super mega holiday trip. Are the referees back from their holiday now? Training camp.
Well, I was just going to say that to John, because we put it to Ross last week. Two questions, John. First of all, who do you think will be in contention for the Man of Steel? But the first question is, who do you think will be the referee of the year this year?
The referee of the year.
Well, that's what I get. Everybody just laughs.
That's a loaded question.
Michael Harrigan.
Grasshopper.
The grasshopper. Oh,
Bill Harrigan, maybe.
Yeah, Bill Harrigan. I can remember the grasshopper referee does it in '85. The test
he would have loved you
against New Zealand, and the last the first test at Edinburgh. Oh, Elridge passed to Joseph Lyon, and when we scored a try, it was about 5 yards forward, and anyway, he got away with that. And then when he refereed the brawl or the big fight here in '85, it was ridiculous. But he just didn't care less. The old grasshopper, he just said, "Well, fight as long as what you want. Then I'm stood here for 80 minutes. I can stay." And he couldn't care less. He didn't get involved. But he was a good referee. So was Howard Harrigan, and good characters. That's what there was. Even McCallum, he was a good character. So Who do you think is going to be our referee of the year this year, John?
Well, considering many have quit...
It's a serious question.
I think Gareth Ewell might be the last man standing.
Gareth Ewell, right. Yeah.
What are they more, referees or Bradford Bulls players?
We care. So who do you think... Man of Steel as well, John? I said George Williams. Mark, you said...
Daryl Clark.
I'm on the Mickey McAlorum.
Gareth Ellis.
I think I have to agree with Mark. I think Daryl Clark's a big chance, but I think... Just as an aside, I think Sam Williams could be one of the buys of the season.
Well, we had a tweet about it.
Yes, and he looked at the last 10 metres of the pitch.
Yeah. Sam Williams. Oh, the back at Wareville. Yeah.
Scored 20 points yesterday and hardly broke a sweat. Yeah.
What, was he just nice and organising and just...
Two tries, you know, a bit of a dummy. Yeah,
bit of a show and go. Yeah.
He's got the whole... The sort of player you'd like. He's got the gamesmanship.
Must have been watching a video score on YouTube or something like that, the show and goes or whatever. What do you reckon, John?
Obviously...
I think
Elliot Wyatt has obviously told him a camera.
This is a Schofield-Davidson show for the next 10 minutes.
Well, when Phil goes to take over the rugby league, we'll need another guest, won't we? So, let's hope he takes you with him. That's what I say.
It's a bit harsh again, isn't it? So he looks a nice little player, does he, Williams?
I think him and Miller could be the best halves combination.
Right. And what about Liam Finn? What's going to happen to Liam Finn? Finn's been brilliant, hasn't he? You know, so is he going to get blown out?
He came out a hooker yesterday off the bench. I mean, obviously, he's not the quickest of players, but he's a smart player, and he did look...
No, he's very smart, good.
And they've lost Scott Moore, so there's an obvious place for a backup hooker.
Hmm.
Terry says, the middle eights created great excitement and a lot of new revenue for Championship clubs, although the top eights didn't bring much revenue for the teams on Thursday nights. Why would Phil Catlin want to take that away from the game? The £1 million game was the dream finale to a great competition.
I just think you can get to the £1 million game earlier. But by the same token, Wakefield lost £60,000 being in the Super League eights the year before Castleford lost £100,000. So there's a balancing act. I think, again, you talk to people like Featherstone and Batley, and yes, there was some value in them playing. But they were relatively fortunate last year that they had Leeds and Huddersfield in there. If that had been... with the greatest respect, Widnes and Salford, they wouldn't have had the paydays.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that.
Elsewhere, Joe says the social media presence of Super League and the Super League teams is quite poor. Toronto built up 10,000 followers in no time, yet the established teams have no reach. The NRL market the game well through Facebook, Twitter, etc. I guess it's budgets at clubs. If you can allow a large stroke... competent stroke media team, stroke marketing team, whether you've got that budget to do that or put players on the field.
But everywhere we've got a Super League club, we've got a university that's doing a media studies degree. So I think you do have access to a lot of people that could look after your social media sites, and we could have more of a presence there. Absolutely. Going back to Toronto, and they're not the answer to everything, an invitation has gone out to people involved with the Manchester Chamber of Commerce to have a business breakfast with Brian Noble at the early part of February for any businesses that want to enhance their links between the northwest of England and Canada. Again, that's not something a lot of other clubs can do, but that's how you get new businesses involved. How do you know that some freight company that is looking to build their business between Manchester and Ontario will not get involved for what will be a relatively small amount of marketing money?
I agree.
So I think, again, that we have to look to exploit those avenues, and you can't always do it through the way you've always done it, or with the greatest respect, some towns and cities that don't, towns and villages that don't have access to that kind of thing.
Do you think as well, because I think I've asked this question before, John, what do you reckon? Saying the Toronto, what, sold 8,000-10,000 tickets, have they, for when they play over there? Do you think the Toronto fans, they'll be, every week, because they're going to wallop everybody 80-90 points, do you think they'll be excited about seeing that sort of scorelines, or do you think after four or five games, right, this is getting a bit boring now?
I think
the sporting mad, we all know the Canadians are sporting mad, but will they get bored with that sort of scorelines?
I think there's definitely a danger of that. I mean, it's going to be 100-150 nil every week, or often it's going to be a struggle. But I think what the Wolfpack are going to try and do, what Eric Pez has talked about, is making an event, you know, whether it be the cheerleaders, or I guess what the Americans and the Canadians do is that match day experience they have from the NBA and the NFL. Yeah. So the whole package, and then I'll sell that, and it'll be a high class, and it'll be winning. But
have the gossip decent cheerleaders?
I haven't been over yet, but
I'd imagine they would do.
You can't wait to get over.
Yeah, well, I'm hopefully going to tick it on the media one. I don't know. Invites could go missing at the right point of time. Who knows?
Depends if you're a renegade.
Yeah, well,
depends where your tanks are, I guess.
Who do you think's going to win Super League this year?
I think I probably said it last season and I was wrong, but I think I really do think Warrington. It's okay. Always their year, but I think
they
it
have recruited. You feel Brown might be the missing piece, and they've beefed up the squad, which I thought in the crucial games last year their bench wasn't quite deep enough.
And
for me.
Those young players have got that. Yeah. You know, they've been to Wembley, they've been to Old Trafford, you know, the Kings and the rest of them. So I think it is theirs for this year.
Yeah, good stuff. Who's in most danger of going down? Do you feel?
I think it's a toss-up between Huddersfield and Widnes. I mean, a lot of positive messages coming out of Huddersfield last week and Widnes. They both had their media days last week, but they just look light, you know, look a bit thin. And I think one has to get to a good start. If they get to both get to a slow start in the season, it could be a very long year.
Good stuff. We are almost done. Don't forget live commentary. You'll go to Hull KR on Sunday. Go and watch the new Bradford Bulls. I bet you can't wait, can you?
Looking forward to that one. Is it Clay Murdoch?
Craig. I will be at Huddersfield watching Huddersfield Leeds in the football, and then you'll be on after that.
Looking forward to seeing Craig again. Plus, as well, the sponsors of Hull KR there, so the good friends there. They're usually still supporting Hilkeson Rovers there, so yeah, they're expecting a big season. I can reassure you, they're expecting to get back into Super League at the first attempt.
I think there might be one, if not two, promotions this year. We will see how it all unfolds. The first of many, many games coming up. Live full match commentaries every week here on Radio Yorkshire. What's on your website, John, just quickly? Anything you're keen to get out there, or just your attack on the RFL continuing?
No,
you're on friendly ground here, mate. Don't worry about that.
You won't be going on the media events again, I can tell you.
I would say constructive criticism. Now, I think...
Feedback.
I think this week someone did ask me, well, you know, you've pointed out all these things wrong, well, where's the solutions? But I did respond with a few ideas, so I think I'll put something together later in this week, at least some ideas that maybe can help the game go forward, but I don't profess to have all the answers. But I think debate and discussion, which you guys do so well, is definitely what we need.
Thank you. Yeah, checks in the post. You can come back next week. Phil, building up to another magazine, what you got lined up for us?
We think we've got the definitive interview with Rowan Smith before he left.
All right,
says some interesting things. And a nice piece this week with Earl Crabtree about his links with wrestling.
Mm-hmm. I think he's been out to Florida, hasn't he? He's been training.
I see. Is he getting in the ring, is he?
Ah, well, you'll have to read and we may have the answer.
I'll just ring him up, actually. I've got his number. I'll ask him. Earl, are you a wrestler? Richard, Wakefield, are you still optimistic?
Well, the most optimistic for a while, so that's worrying, isn't it? But we shall see what happens a couple of weeks' time. Wakefield Hull, opening game of the Super League season at the home of Rugby League.
Michael Carter rubbing his hands together.
Big away big following, fixture. Won't they? Yeah. In their luminous yellow kit.
Yeah,
a double header as well, because Sheffield will be playing.
Yeah, with Dane Chisholm. Bradford fans, if you're missing him, get yourself along. You can go see him.
Yeah, come give us some money.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you for all your interactions. Absolutely loads of it. Scoy, we'll see you on Sunday. Thank you for all your interaction. If you found us for the first time, we're here every single week, 6 until 8.